Our gospel reading for today, which is the basis for the sermon, is from Matthew, the second chapter. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him." After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. And then opening their treasure, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the gospel. You may be seated. Well, there was a four-year-old named Billy who was watching his mother change his new baby brother's diapers. And as is usual, in fact, if there are any mothers here who had a couple of children very close in age, know that mothers can be distracted and things get hectic and terrible. And she was in a great rush to her next appointment. So she forgot to put baby powder on the baby's backside. And so as she turned to leave, Billy pipes up, "Hey, Mom, you forgot to salt him." You know, just coming back from spending time with grandkids, babies and grandchildren have this extraordinary way of turning intelligent grown-ups into complete idiots. And we find ourselves making those funny faces and those googly noises, and we talk baby talk and all that kind of stuff. And have you ever wondered what babies think of when they see adults doing those kinds of things, right? So Christmas is the season of the baby, the Christ child. And having just come through the season of Christmas, the scripture isn't done. We may be done. Our trees may be down. Decorations packed away. But the scripture's not done with Christmas. You see, because God isn't locked into our calendar events. I think I already have seen decorations for Valentine's Day, all right? So the entrance of the wise men from Persia into the Christmas story brings an entirely new dimension or new presence to the experience. Now, as you read about the Magi, you're going to discover that they were members of a priestly caste from ancient Persia. They were followers of an Iranian prophet by the name of Zoroaster, who taught messianism, heaven, hell, free will, and he had been around since 650 or so B.C. And there's much similarity between Zoroastrianism and the Christianity that was to come, except this, They expected a Messiah. Christianity delivers the Messiah. That is what the Magi were seeking. They were seeking the Messiah, not a prophet. Now, Dr. Oswald Hoffman, who was the speaker of the International Lutheran Hour, in the late 1980s, gave a powerful introduction to the events that surrounded the appearance of the Magi. He said that the wise men of the East did not claim to know everything, but they did know something, or that something wonderful was happening, and they followed the star. Here's what he said, quote, "I wish I knew how they did that. With what they knew, they were able to do it. Their studies paid off. They knew a special star when they saw it, and they were able to follow it." Dr. Hoffman continued with a question, why a star? He said, because a star had been born in Bethlehem. In a manger there, a little star from heaven had been born, as babies are born. The New Testament calls him a bright and blazing star, which heralds the dawn of a new day, God's new day in God's world. So they saw a bright star, a light, that would guide them by day and night to the long-expected Messiah. And we want to examine that journey this morning. A journey that was marked, to begin with, by discovery. Now, these magi were men of science in the field of astronomy who had put their learning and feet into action. Someone has called them brave men because they traveled by animal and foot hundreds of miles from their home on the belief that their calculations were correct. And so they maneuvered over rough terrain and they warded off bands of robbers and just to see if they had been correct about the star. It took them a long time to travel. And when we see the manger scene in church plays, where suddenly the magi appear with their gifts, I don't mean to disappoint you all from your childhood, but that's totally incorrect. Probably the star didn't appear until the time of Jesus' birth, and it is at that time that they prepare to leave on their journey of discovery. Now, at that time, there was a wide expectation about the coming of a king, of a deliverer. In fact, the Roman historian Cenotius was speaking around the time of the birth of Jesus about a ruler who would come into Judea. And Tacitus, another Roman historian, wrote that there was a firm persuasion that a universal empire was going to be established. And the Jewish historian Josephus reported in his Jewish Wars that the Jews believed that one from their own country would become the ruler of the whole world. Whatever else, these magi were on a mission to find a king. Now bring that into 2019. The question is, what about us? What is our mission in life? Have we sought a king of life for us? Have we been involved with that continual search until we have found him? You know, the baby grew up to become the man who would redeem the whole world, not in the way that the Romans and the Jews had perceived, but he was going to redeem the world from sin and evil. And so our search leads us to the baby, to the victorious King of Kings, to the Lord who was resurrected for us, to the Prince of Peace who comes to calm our fears and forgive our sins and dispel the rebellion that's been brewing all of our life. You know, today, wise men and wise women still seek him. Brave people still join the army of the righteous in the holy kingdom of God. And so the Magi were on a journey that was marked by patience and persistence. You know, there had been anticipation for a long time about what was going to happen in the ancient world. And they anticipated that it would be something that would revolutionize the whole world. There was this feeling everywhere in the East at that time. And so these were men who were watching and waiting. They were thinking and planning. And they persistently had their eyes on the heavens to find out what it would be that would change the entire planet. I heard a story about several years ago about a young Catholic boy by the name of Benjamin. I'm glad he was Catholic because my son's named Benjamin. But anyway, this Benjamin wanted a baby sister in the worst way. And so he decided that the best thing he could do was to ask God for a baby sister. And he decided to write a letter to God asking for that new sister. So he sat down the piece of paper and he started out. Dear God, this is Benjamin, and I've been a very good boy. Then he stopped. He thought for a moment about what he had said and crumbled up the paper, and he started over with a new clean piece of paper, and he launches into his next start. Dear God, this is Benjamin, and most of the time I've been a good boy. Then he thought, no, God's not going to buy that either. So he wadded up the paper, he threw it in the trash can. And he sat there for a minute thinking, what could he do to convince God to give him a baby sister? So he formed this idea in his mind, and he took some action. He went into the bathroom, and he got out a big terry cloth towel, and he brought it into the living room, and he laid it out on the couch. Then he went to the family mantle, and he reached up, and he brought down the Madonna, the statue of the mother of Jesus that had been sitting on his mantle all his life. And he placed it in the middle of the tile, and he folded up the edges nicely, and he placed a spongy cord around it, concealing the content. And then he brought it over the table, and he sat down, and he took out another piece of writing paper, and he started his letter all over again. Dear God, this is Benjamin. And if you want to see your mother again, you see, Benjamin wanted God to act, and he wanted God to act right now. And I think we are often like Benjamin. We try to do desperate things to get God's attention. I mean, most of us don't like to be patient and wait. Waiting drives us crazy. I mean, you clearly see that with children during Christmas. Anticipation for many of them is unbelievable. One person said, you know, I need to take a lesson in patience. Do any of you know where I can get a crash course? Someone also made the comment that in a certain orchestral number that was composed by Joseph Haydn, the flute player is supposed to sit very quietly for 74 measures and then come in exactly on the upbeat of measure 75. Well, Gerald Johnson, an historian and writer who played the flute in the Baltimore Symphony, observed that a composer who expected a flute player to wait that patiently and perform that precisely is looking for a rare individual. You see, there are two kinds of realities in life. There are things that you have to work for and things that you have to wait on. And how many of us don't want to wait? There was a great preacher by the name of Philip Brooks, who was called the Prince of Preachers in the late 1800s. And he was in his office just pacing back and forth in a very agitated state. And one of his friends came in and asked what was wrong. And he says, I'm in a hurry, but God's not. It's hard for us when we aren't in control of things. I mean, isn't hurry, hurry, hurry the motif of lives today? We have to take our time and to let God speak to us in His timing. And then once we've determined what His desire is, then we need to take action. And so the question for us today is, have we waited for the Lord? Have we asked what He has in store for our lives? Have we been persistent in our action or our asking? And then once discovering what it is to be done, persistent in our actions? You know, think about it. What is it today, now, that God wants from you and from your life? Secondly, the Magi were on a journey of faith. You know, when they took the first step on their journey, it truly was a walk of faith. You know, millions of people since that time have experienced fellowship daily with an unseen God with whom they can only experience by faith. But it's based on the inerrant Word of God, the revelation of God Himself to our world. See, the Magi's faith was also accompanied by their works. Their action plan of moving out into the journey itself. Martin Luther is credited with a thought where he said, quote, where there are no good works, there is no faith. If works and love do not blossom forth, it's not genuine faith. The gospel has not yet gained a foothold and Christ is not yet rightly known. You know, what are some of our affirmations of faith? Well, first of all, faith affirms the truth that salvation and justification come by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Faith affirms the truth that life is one of total trust from beginning to end. Faith affirms the truth that faith will sustain believers in trials and tribulations that so often come. Faith affirms the truth that faith gives us victory to overcome evil in this world. Faith affirms the truth that Christian growth is possible. And faith affirms the truth that prayer is vital in our lives for spiritual maturity. See, God redeems us through our faith. You know, are we people of faith? Do we put our faith in a God who has put His signature on a covenant with us, signed in Christ's blood? By faith, we realize that He will help us face every obstacle, every challenge, when we put our faith in His power and grace. And we know that faith in Him can move mountains, especially the mountains of doubt and fear. Finally, the Magi were on a journey of generosity. You know, they brought gifts to Jesus. Their conscience and hope would not be stingy, but it would be generous to the one that they had searched so diligently for in their journey. You know, gold represents His kingship, which would be based on love and not force. The frankincense represented His priesthood. The function, if you remember, of a priest was bringing humanity to God. And the Latin word for priest is pontifex, which means a bridge builder. That's what Jesus has done. He came into the... came to bring us into the very presence of God. We don't need a human priest to accomplish that for us. And finally, myrrh was the gift for one who is to die. It was an embalming mixture. It was a reminder that Jesus came in the world to die for us. So what do I have today to present to Jesus? The answer is only myself. Now the Magi returned home after giving their gifts. And I was thinking, what must that encounter have been like with the baby Jesus? Did it change their hearts? Did it change their hearts just for a short time, or were they changed for a long time? You know, did the encounter change the outlook of the Magi? Did it change their religious perspective? Did the encounter change their routine when they got back home? You know, I can't answer those questions. In fact, nothing in the scripture or literature tells us what happened to them. This is the only point where we ever hear or read about them. But you know, honestly, I don't really have to answer that question, do I? Because you see, I have a more pressing question to answer. Has my encounter with this Jesus changed my life? So when you think about that star, what a powerful thing a light is, even a tiny star. Because it was the light of that star that changed the lives of these wise men. It was the light of the star that changed the world. And our question is, has that light changed us? Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you today for the light. For the light that drew the Magi from that great distance to come to acknowledge your birth and your presence. It's that light that continues to shine in our hearts and lives. And so we ask that you change us, that you continue to increase our faith and our hope and our strength. Enable that light to shine brightly in our lives that others might see and come to know the love of your Son, Jesus. Go with us today with that light in your presence. In your name we pray. Amen.